Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory be to his name, glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're listening to Radio Redemption and Power, and we are a South Florida radio program that preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the topic we're going to be talking about tonight is evangelism. We're going to be looking at some important points that can maybe help us be better preachers of the gospel as we live our day-to-day lives and encounter people that don't know the wonderful truth and the salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ offers us. So we know that we hope that tonight's broadcast will be a blessing for you. Remember, you can visit us on our webpage, redemptionandpower.com. You can also find us on Facebook, and you can also subscribe to our podcast via iTunes, so you can be receive automatic downloads, or our podcasts are also available on directly on our page. Just hit the podcast link. We also have 24/7 access, 24/7 content playing. Just hit the 24-hour radio link on our webpage. And you can also download the free app that is both available for Android as well as iPhone, and it's absolutely free. And you can be able to download to your phone and listen to all of our podcasts as they are available on demand. You could also write to us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com. We always look forward to hearing from our listeners. We pray for all the requests that we receive, so feel free to write to us there. You can also write to us on Facebook, or you can also contact us via phone at 305-320-7727. That's 305-320-7727. Brother Lewis, would you kindly lead us in prayer tonight?
Amen. Father God, we come to you today as the world draws further and further away from you and from accepting your gospel. Father, tonight we ask you to teach us, Father, to teach us how to be able to expand your kingdom, to preach your gospel to the ends of the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Glory be to his name. Tonight we're going to be talking about evangelism. And if there is a universal calling for every Christian, it is the fact that we are all called to share the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter your age, your social class, even if you don't have extensive Bible knowledge, we are all called to share the good news of God to everyone. Not everyone is called to be a pastor. Not everyone is called to be a teacher. Not everyone is called to be a missionary. Not everyone is called to be an evangelist. But we are all called to evangelize. And tonight we want to look at some very important points on evangelism. We're going to be looking at some points that are found in the scripture that may help us in sharing the gospel to those that we encounter day by day. And of course, the circumstances vary. And we want to look at some important points on what the scripture tells us that can better equip the people, better equip our listeners to be able to face and encounter others and tell them about what Jesus did for them and the important aspects of the gospel that we should be sharing with people and what it means. And we want to go ahead and start by defining, first and foremost, what gospel means. When we say we're going to share the gospel, what exactly does that mean? First of all, the word gospel is typically defined as meaning good news. When we say the gospel, we're saying the good news of God. This is wonderful news that we are sharing with people that don't know God, with people that don't know what Jesus Christ has done for them. And what's interesting about this word, gospel or evangelion, which is the Greek word, is that not only does it mean good news, but when we look at the use of this word historically, apart from the use that we read about in the Bible, it was typically used of military campaigns that were won by kings. Good news regarding a successful military campaign by a king. And we, brothers and sisters, are not only disciples, are not only children of God, but we are his messengers called to declare his victory, the victory of our king. Because that is precisely what happened at the cross of Calvary. There was a victory that was won for us. But what happens is that we underestimate the privilege that we have to be in service to the king, because we don't see things from a heavenly perspective. We see things from a human perspective. We see things from the way that we feel or what are people going to think about us, rather than the privilege that we have to be able to serve a king and to be his messengers into a lost world. In many episodes before, we have spoken about the various victories that were achieved at the cross through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus. And we've actually, I think we spoke about it in a couple of episodes before. And just to go over the wonderful victory that we are proclaiming in the gospel, in this good news of this military victory that was won by our Lord, is number one, victory over sin. Number two, victory over Satan. And number three, victory over death. And what's so beautiful about the scriptures is that the Word of God specifically shares with us, tells us what is the gospel, because this is a very important information, piece of information that we need to know. And I'm, at least for me, I'm one of those type of people that God needs to be very specific with me. And because I'm just, it's very difficult for me to learn unless I'm given precise instructions. And one of the wonderful things about the Holy Spirit and how he's designed the Word of God is that he gives us the information we need in a very straightforward way. Even though the gospel is very vast, that encompasses the victory over sin, the victory over Satan, and the victory over death, the Holy Spirit actually condenses this to a couple of verses that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So when we think about what the gospel is, And if you're a new Christian, or you're a Christian that you've been a Christian for many years, it's very important for us to know this piece of information, because it's the central truth of the scriptures. It's the most important truth that we find in the Bible. It is the purpose that we have the Bible. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. This is what the scripture says. He says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." So here Paul is about to tell us what is the gospel. Because after all, evangelize, to preach the gospel is to preach this message. The gospel is something. And here, the Holy Spirit, through the Apostle Paul, is going to tell us, condensed, what the gospel is. And he says, "By which ye also are saved." Okay? So, the gospel that he's speaking about is the gospel that we receive in order to be saved. That we stand, and he says, "By which we are saved. If ye keep in memory what I preach unto you, unless ye have believed in vain." So, Paul is telling us here that the central message of salvation, from which salvation revolves around, is this message of the gospel. This is what we are called to proclaim. And he says in verse 3, in 1 Corinthians 15, "For I delivered unto you first all that which I also received." Now, this is important because what Paul is telling us here, it's not something that he made up. See, the gospel is not something that we alter. The gospel is not something that we make up. It is something that we receive. It is a truth, it is an eternal truth that will stand forever, that we cannot change. And because this is the central message of the scriptures, it is not a surprise that this is the specific truth that Satan has tried to destroy from the beginning. The whole book of Galatians, the majority of that book is Paul defending against people that would want to come and corrupt the gospel to try and add things into it that God had not included. So he says, "This is what I've received." And he says how that Christ died. And here he's going to expound and say what the gospel is, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day, according to the scriptures. This is the gospel condensed. Number one, that he died for sins according to the scriptures. Number two, that he was buried, that he died. Jesus did not, he was not taken down from the cross. He was not replaced by somebody else, like the Muslims say. It was Jesus, the Son of God, died on that cross. He was buried, and on the third day, he rose again. So we have the payment of sins, the death, and the resurrection. This is the condensed summary of the gospel. This is the most important truth. This is the truth for which so many people have died, preserving. And we as Christians, if there's any other basic truth that we ought to know in order to evangelize, is to know this truth, because it is the truth on which everything in the Bible is based upon. The Old Testament, we won't understand the Old Testament unless we understand the gospel, in which we're going to go into some points that are going to touch on that. This is the gospel condensed. And if our witness, if we're going to witness to others, does not include this, then we are not preaching the gospel. We may help the poor, you may feed the hungry, you may clothe the naked, but if you don't tell them what Christ has done for their salvation, for the salvation of their souls, we may help their temporary discomfort, but what about their eternity? Our job is to help people, but the most important way that we can help them is to lead them to the truth. We can give people good advice. We can listen to their sorrows, to their woes. We can try and help them with their difficult circumstances. But unless we give them the ultimate solution to the predicament of life, which is death, we have not given them anything. There's many organizations that are out to help the poor. There are many organizations that are doing great humanitarian work. But unless the means and the ultimate objective of that is to proclaim the gospel, then it really does not have an ultimate effect on your soul. And the opposite is also true. If we preach to people without showing genuine concern about their situation, what does that say about us? If we go and we find a homeless person on the street and we start telling them about Jesus without worrying about the fact that, hey, they don't have anything to eat, then that really does not help our cause either. Because a person is more likely to hear you when they see that you're truly concerned about them. And often when we proclaim the gospel to people, people may interpret as, oh, we're just trying to convert them to our religion. We just want them to be Christian. When in fact, we care about their souls. We love them enough to tell them the truth. But love doesn't just equate in preaching the gospel. We should also care about their needs. And that's exactly what James tells us in James chapter 2, verse 15 and 17. He says, if a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which they are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so, faith, if it hath not works, it is dead, being alone. Meaning, when we preach to someone, if we don't care about their immediate discomfort, then why would they listen to our message? See, that's a very important aspect of preaching the gospel. We see that about Jesus. Whenever he encounters situations that people were in need, they were sick, or they were the multitude were hungry, he preached to them, but he also took care of their physical needs. But the ultimate goal was not just to give them a hot plate of food. The ultimate goal is not to just to give someone temporarily what they need, but to give someone the eternal salvation that comes through putting their faith on the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our ultimate goal is to save their souls. Our ultimate goal is to make disciples. In fact, this is what Jesus tells us in Luke chapter 24 when he commissions the disciples. He says some very important things. And let's go ahead and look at that. Luke 24, verse 45 and 47 through 47. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples after he goes through the Old Testament, telling them why it is that the Messiah had to die. And he comes to these important points. He says, then he opened their mind that they might understand the scriptures. And he said unto them, thus it is written that Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name unto all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. This is our calling, to proclaim to the nations. In fact, in another portion, he says, making disciples. So our intent is not just to lead them, but also to teach them. And Jesus says some very important things here that we should take into consideration, that we should pay attention to if we desire to proclaim the gospel to others, because this is what he's talking about evangelizing. He says that Christ should suffer and rise again on the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name unto all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Meaning this is not just a message to the disciples, to the apostles, because they just did not have the ability to be able to go to all the nations. This has been a baton that has been passed down to every subsequent generation of believers. And he says, what is the mission? And that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached. From what? From the message of the gospel. And notice that the very first thing he says is repentance. What does that word repentance mean? In the Greek, it means to change your mind. It is a change in mind that causes a change in direction, which is very important part of evangelizing. Unless people know that one day they will be judged by God's law when they stand before him on that day of judgment, unless people know this, why else would they turn to Jesus? Why would people turn to Jesus if they don't see their need for Jesus? That's why repentance is so important. It's not that repentance gives you salvation. It's that repentance causes you to turn to the gospel. You know, some people say, oh, well, if repentance is necessary, then isn't that a work? That's not a work. It's not the repentance that saves you. It's the gospel that saves you. But you don't turn to the gospel unless you find a need for it, unless you believe it. And we live in a time, a day, in a post-Christian Western world that doesn't feel like they need God. They're very satisfied in their financial situation. They have all the things they want, all the things they need. A lot of people say, well, why do I need God? Why do I need Him? And this is precisely the kind of thinking that a person needs to repent from. To turn away from that, to turn to God. And the way we do that, when we evangelize, is by using the law of God. Look at what the scripture tells us in Romans chapter 3. Verse 20, the Apostle Paul tells us this, seeing it is, Romans chapter 3, verse 20, the Apostle Paul says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. For the law is the knowledge of sin. The Apostle Paul tells us here that no one can be saved by following the law. The law does not commend you to God. It does not. You won't be able to stand before God and say, well, I've done all these things and you should let me into heaven. That's not the purpose of the law. The purpose of the law is to condemn us. And the purpose that we use the law in evangelizing is to show people they're not as righteous as they think they are. The purpose of the law of God is not so we can use it to beat other Christians in the head with, and is also not used to show unbelievers that we are better than them, because we're not, but it is to be used as a mirror to show how truly great is our need for Jesus. Because when we see ourselves in the mirror of God's law, we see that there's no hope. The purpose of the law is to show that man has fallen profoundly short and that we have no ability to redeem ourselves. It's just like being in quicksand. The more you try to pull yourself out of it, the more it sinks you down. And that is precisely what the law of God does to a person who is sinful. If we were perfect, it would be absolutely fine. But we're sinful. And because we're sinful, we have absolutely no way of seeing any good in ourselves when we compare ourselves to God's law. So we use the law when we evangelize. And of course, we have to ask the Holy Spirit to lead us, because it could be very different. For example, if we're evangelizing to people that we work with, or we're evangelizing to some stranger that we met on the street and that more than likely you'll never see them again. When we're evangelizing to people that are that work with us, it can be a day-by-day thing, and we can do things with a little bit more patience. But the law is one of the reasons, one of the things that we are to use to show people their need for God. Because if we just come to people and we tell them, hey, you know, guess what? Jesus died for your sins. They'll just be like, oh, okay, great. You know, that's very nice. Especially if they don't know why. See, not only does the Bible weigh our actions, but it also weighs our motives. Because sin is not only manifested in our actions, but it is the seed that is intertwined in our hearts. The Bible tells us in the book of Jeremiah, Jeremiah 17, verse 9. This is what the scripture says. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? This is the condition of the heart of a person who has not been born again, who has not put their trust in Jesus. It said it is desperately wicked. Sin is part of us. Sin is ingrained in our thoughts. And this is something that is openly observable for anyone to see. And we need, as Christians, to understand these principles. As Christians, understand these truths in order to be effective witnesses. This is something that when we talk to people that can plainly be seen. I mean, ask yourself, why is it that our greatest struggle is to do good? Why do we struggle so much to do what is right? Why is it easier to get angry than to overcome anger? Why is it easier to tell a lie than to tell the truth? It's easy to observe that inside every human being there is an inclination towards evil. And this is a fact that we can even see in children. Not that they're aware of it, but for example, you don't have to teach a child to lie. You have to teach a child to tell the truth. You don't have to teach a child to be selfish. You have to teach a child how to share. And repentance is a turning from their inclination of sin and turning to God and His provision. And in turn, God delivers us from sin, firstly from the condemnation, from the fact that we are proclaimed guilty by the fact that we've broken His law. And then He delivers us from the power of sin as we walk day by day with Him. But only after a person understands that there's a case against them. Oh yeah, there's a list of all the things that they've done that have broken God's law that they will have to answer for. And unless they understand that there is a case against them, then they will not be able, unless they understand that there's a case against them, they will not truly be able to see the beauty in the gospel, the remission of sins. They won't be able to see the good news. They won't see why the gospel is such good news. That's why, some of the hardest people to reach are people that are self-righteous and ones that don't believe that God exists. The ones that are self-righteous, they feel like they've done enough good that they haven't done anything bad that God would condemn them by. And the ones that don't believe in God don't believe that there's a judge. And in fact, when we look at the Gospels and we look at those that Jesus encountered, you had the Pharisees who were self-righteous. They felt like they lived and they had, they lived out the law and God approved them. That's what they thought. They were very self-righteous. And then you have the Sadducees who did not believe in the resurrection. They believed that this is it. And they need to know that things are not okay. And that's the purpose of the law. And like I mentioned before, sometimes we tell people that, Christ died for them without letting them know why it was that Christ died for them, why He needed to die. Because unless they understand the fact that repentance is necessary, unless they understand that they've broken God's law, then the gospel doesn't really mean anything to them. I mean, look at what the scripture tells us in Romans chapter 5. And I'll go ahead and finish with this to give Brother Lewis some time. Romans chapter 5. Verse 8, the Apostle Paul says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now, notice what he says here. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible teaches us that it's God's kindness that leads men to repentance. It's not just the fact that God's law condemns us and we come to Him because we feel guilty, but it's His love. The point, the fact that He didn't have to do this, but He did it for us anyways. But look how it reads. It says, "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now imagine if we take out that small portion that says, "while we were yet sinners." It would read like this: "But God commendeth His love toward us, in that Christ died for us." When you take that part out, that we were sinners, it takes away the strength of what the Holy Spirit is telling us here. And this is precisely why people, in order for them to grasp the truth of the gospel, in order for them to see the beauty of this message, the hope that is in it is contained, they need to understand that they're sinners. And that is the purpose of the law. And that is, we need to understand this when it comes to evangelism. Unless people understand this and understand what they're facing, they won't be able to fully appreciate the grace that God has bestowed to us through Jesus Christ.
Amen. Evangelism is something that many Christians struggle with. I've listed a few steps. One of them, my brother Javer just spoke about. Of first of all, what we need to understand when we go to evangelize. The first thing that we need to understand, and that the people that you are evangelizing to need to understand, is that God is holy. Secondly, we need to understand, and the people that you're evangelizing need to understand that, like Brother Javer said, we have all broken God's law. In other words, we have all sinned against the will of God, and therefore we have been separated from God. This is very important, brothers and sisters, because I know that there's a lot of people that meet people out in the street and just tell them, oh, say this prayer after me, Jesus, come into my heart, you know, and that's it. But there's more than that. One of the things that we need to understand, and the person that you're witnessing to needs to understand, is they are sinners and they are in need of a savior. And this will allow them to see their condition. When we look at God as being holy, and Brother Javer spoke about a perfect example when he spoke about when you address people, tell them about the commandments. One of the things that the commandments does, brothers and sisters, it allows us to see how far we are from God and how we have violated his laws. I want to give you some scriptures with this because it's very important, so you could show the people as you were teaching them. One of them is Romans 3:23, and this scripture here says, "For all have sinned and have fall short of the glory of God." That means, brothers and sisters, that not I, not you, but everyone has missed the mark. We've have all failed God in one way or another. The other scripture that I'm going to give you is found in 1 John 1:7-9. "But if we walk in the light and he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sins." So God redeems us. He rescues us. This is something that God is doing. He's rescuing us from our sins, and he's reuniting us back to the Father. Then it says, if we claim to be without sin, and this is something that people need to understand. That's why this is so important. We deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. And that's where we need Jesus, because Jesus is the Son of God, and he died for our sins, rescuing us. And we need to understand and realize that we are in need of a Savior. We need somebody to save us. Number four, we need to declare Jesus as our Lord. We were once in bondage to the world, but now we have a Redeemer. And that Redeemer is Jesus Christ. That's why the name of Jesus, brothers and sisters, is so important. Because he is our Redeemer. He is the one that rescued us from the pit of hell. He's the one who died in our place. He took our place when he died on the cross of Calvary. Therefore, the name that we use is the name of Jesus. And a lot of you are probably wondering right now and saying, but how is that done? And this is the, how do we tell people about these things, about the gospel? How are you able to talk to somebody? You know, this is a hard thing to do. Well, brothers and sisters, it can be a hard thing to do, but it isn't when you apply certain things. And I'll give you an example. Number one, my brother just mentioned the first one, which is use the Ten Commandments. I love the Ten Commandments because, you know, it's simple. You tell somebody, have you ever committed adultery? Even looked at a woman? Well, I've done that, right? Have you ever stolen? Well, yeah, I stole the pencil. Well, that's stealing. So, you know, you've done it. And, you know, you go through the commandments, and everyone has failed at least one or two or three parts of this, of the commandments. So when we read them off and people are listening to them, they say, wow, I've done this. You know, secondly, ask questions. For example, what do you think will happen to you when you die? That's a question where people start to wonder, well, I don't know. Well, you take them through the scriptures and you teach them that, you know, that because of God dying in the cross, he has given us a way to reunite us again to the Father, and that we have a place. So people are no longer thinking that once you die, that's it. You know, it's over. Next thing is listen. You know, I know that there's a lot of evangelists out there, and all they want to do is tell people about Christ and tell people of the scriptures and all these things. But, you know, guys, sometimes you got to listen, because there are people that are suffering with things, and they need to, you need to listen so that you could answer. Give your testimony. Listen, I was an alcoholic before I came to Christ. And when I, after I came to Christ, you know, I no longer do that. I'm free from that bondage. You know, I was a drug addict. I was a prostitute. You know, we see it throughout the Bible. People running and saying, listen, this man told me the good news. And you know, I used to be this, but now I'm this. And, you know, so this is part of the testimony. This is part how you're able to tell people about the gospel. Another thing that, you know, you're going to be confronted with, people asking you questions. And, you know, brothers and sisters, we need to be ready. We need to know the scriptures. We need to be able to go to different verses and answer questions that people may have. One of the things that I did when I first became saved, and it, in my mind, it wasn't a bad thing, because I really cared. You understand, like my brother Javer said, you know, that there's going to be one day when God will judge you, and, you know, the ones that didn't accept Jesus Christ are going to go to hell. But, you know, so I quoted Isaiah 64:6, which says, all of you have become like one who is unclean, and all our unrighteous acts are like filthy rags. So I used to say, listen, you're a filthy rag. If you don't accept Jesus Christ, you're going to hell. But listen, that's not the way that we are supposed to evangelize. We're not supposed to condemn people, brothers and sisters, and send them to hell. We're supposed to preach the good news. Give them hope. Don't become angry when people ask you questions. Have patience and work with the people. Teach them, show them where in the scripture it teaches all their whatever questions they're asking, the struggles that they have. Why if God is my savior, why is the world plagued with people that want to kill you? What if people want to do bad things? You know, be ready to answer these types of questions. Don't argue with people. You know, the gospel is not something that you argue with. You just sow a seed, and you know, you may not be the one who leads that guy or that lady to the gospel. But somebody later on may come, and then that seed will flourish in them, and they will accept Jesus Christ. And don't rebuke people. There's many people, you know, they go out there and they say all sorts of things. Well, you know, if you don't want to accept Jesus Christ, you're damned. You know, you're going to be lost. Don't do that. Let God, let the Holy Spirit work in the person's life.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Lewis, for sharing those very important points and evangelizing to others. And I think that you mentioned some very important things. In fact, I want to go back on one of the ones you mentioned. Perhaps we have people that are listening tonight that maybe are recently converted, or maybe they don't have an extensive knowledge of the Bible, and they may be hearing and they may say, you know, what can I do now to share the gospel with people? And I think, Brother Lewis, you mentioned something that's very important and a very effective way in which the gospel is shared, and it's exactly what Christ has done for you. And sometimes we underestimate the power of testimony. You know that you've trusted in Jesus. You know that you've trusted in him for your forgiveness. And through what he's done in your life, because you did this, is one of the most powerful tools in order to bring others into the kingdom of God, in order for others to come in into the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know you were saved because you believed in Jesus. You know you were saved because you trusted in him, that he died for your sins, that he was buried, and that he resurrected. and that there's been a change in your life. And that in itself is a proof that something has changed in you. We read about this wonderful story in the book of Mark, where Jesus comes to this place called Gadara in Mark chapter 5. And he comes to this place specifically for a man. And the Bible tells us this man was demonically possessed. He was possessed by a demon that calls himself Legion, because there were many demons that were inside of him. This was a man that lived inside of a cemetery. And they would tie him up in chains. And so greatly was his demonic oppression and his demonic demonic possession that he would be able to break through the chains. And he would cut himself. He was totally messed up. I mean, he was isolated. He was dead to the world. This man was nothing to society in which he lived in. They just gave up hope in him completely. He lived in the tombs and in caves. And the Bible says that Jesus made an appointment to come and see this man. He came specifically for this person. And the Bible says that when Jesus comes to him, he is delivered of all these demons. He's delivered of them. He's Jesus. The Bible says that when this was a place that they had a lot of pigs, a lot of swine that they would raise pigs in order for to sell. And the Bible says that the demons that were inside this man, they desired that they be cast out, allowed to go into the pigs. And Jesus allows them. And the Bible says that the pigs all run down and they fall into the water, and that everybody in that place is filled with fear because of what happens. But what's interesting is at the end of everything that happens, Jesus tells something to this man. You know, typically, whenever he would encounter someone that we see his disciples, he tells them, come and follow me. But he doesn't say that to this man. Look at what happens in Mark 5, verse 18. And it says, and when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. So he wanted to go back with Jesus. He's like, Jesus, I want to go back with you and be part of your ministry and go and just be with you. After all, this man was grateful for what Christ had done for him. He had totally been out of his mind because of all the demonic possession that was going on in him, in his life. And now he's finally set free. And look at what Jesus tells him in verse 19. He says, howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord had done for thee and had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all the men did marvel. And all the men did marvel. Imagine this. This was a man that lived in the tombs. This was a man that was completely isolated from society, that people knew him. Maybe they could have seen him as the town drunk, the town fool. And suddenly he comes back. He's sane. He's a human being filled with the love and compassion that came from the freedom that God had delivered him. And now people are able to see. Not only are they listening to this message that this man is speaking about Jesus, but they're able to see the change. And that's why our testimony is so important. Not only for those that have newly been converted, but also for us as Christians. When we're in our work, people look at us. They see how we behave. They see how we talk. And if we have a filthy mouth, how are people going to listen to our message if they don't see the change and transformation in us? And testimony is so important, not only of what Christ has done for us, but of the power that is in us. It is so important for the world to see that this is the truth, that truly the saving grace of God is in our lives, and that truly we know Jesus, and that we are his disciples. We should not underestimate the power that we have. And one of the wonderful things that is amazing about God is that there is such a great diversity in God's people. All of us have very different backgrounds, and we all have different weaknesses, and we have different chains. We all had different chains of sin in our lives before we came to Christ. And what was once something that dominated us, now we dominate it, and we use it as a weapon against the enemy and to show the world, look what Christ has done for me. So I just want to reiterate the importance of that. Listen, you may not have an extensive knowledge of the Bible, but you know that you've been changed. You know that you've been transformed. And listen, that is sufficient enough for you to be able to tell, listen, Jesus saved me. You can trust in Jesus. You follow Jesus and he will save you and deliver you as he's delivered me. Not all just Bible knowledge. Yes, we should know what the gospel is. Every Christian should know what the gospel is. That Christ died for our sins according to the Bible. He was buried and he rose again on the third day. That's the gospel. And those that put their trust in the gospel, that put their trust in Jesus, will receive the promise of God, which is salvation, the Holy Spirit that comes into our lives and transforms us. And as we walk with him, we are delivered from the power of sin in our daily life.
Amen. I want to add a couple of verses. Romans 10:9. You ever spoke about repentance? Romans 10:9. If you declare with your mouth, this is something that you need to do. The people that are receiving Christ, there's a declaration saying, I'm making you my Lord. Jesus is Lord. And believe in your heart. This is something that you have to believe. A lot of people think it's just saying words. This is something that needs to go into your heart. That God raised him from the dead. Why is that so important, brothers and sisters? Because that is the act of redemption. That is the price that was paid for your sins. You will be saved. Now I want to look at another scripture. And this is what my brother Javer was just talking about. And it's very important. Because a lot of people are going to ask you, well, how do you know this is true? How do you know that Jesus died for my sins? And how do you know that this is all true? Well, look what it says here. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. Listen, one of the things that happened, even the people who crucified him on the cross, Jesus showed himself. He was proof that what he was saying, he did. He resurrected from the dead. And there's no other God, lowercase God, that people have that have done such a thing, that has living proof of the resurrection. Living proof that he destroyed the power of death. And he has given us freedom. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. Not only did he resurrect, but he came speaking about the afterlife, about the kingdom of God, the kingdom that God has prepared for us the day we die. So brothers and sisters, that is the hope that we have. Not only is it a hope, but he demonstrated this to the people. And that is what's so important, brothers and sisters, about the gospel, that nothing else can even come close to it. That this was not something made up, that Jesus did what he said, and he raised from the dead in order to give us freedom from bondage and slavery. Father God, tonight, we want to thank you, Father, for this wonderful message, Lord. And there are many people out there tonight, brothers and sisters, that are struggling, Father. Struggling on how to evangelize, Lord. I ask you that today, Father, you open their mouth. And that you give them the ability to be able to be bold, kind, and loving. That they may go, Father, and preach this precious gospel that you have entrusted in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We received an email from a listener who is asking for prayer and support for a battle that he's having, and he needs a breakthrough. His name is Kevin. And right now, brothers and sisters, I would like you to join with me as the body of Christ that we may pray for our brother. Father God, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus Christ, the name above all names. Father God, we unite. Your word says that when we unite, there is power. And Father God, right now we break through these burials of demonic strongholds, Father. And we ask you, Father, to send your angels and send your might to help our brother Kevin, Father, with his spiritual struggles today, Father. Father, we thank you because we know that you hear our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
We thank you for listening tonight. We hope that tonight's broadcast has been a blessing for you. Remember, you can visit us at our webpage, redemptionandpower.com. You can also write to us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com. Visit us on Facebook. You can download our free app, available both for Android and iPhone. Or you can also contact us at 305-320-7727. Thank you again for listening tonight. We pray that the Lord bless you.
For a one-way ride. Oh, when I cross over Jordan, I want to stay on the other side. Oh, Lord, I want to be ready when the train come rolling by. I want to step on board with the grace of God and ride on to heaven on high. Oh, where there's gonna be shouting and singing, don't you hear the bells are ringing? Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, bells will ring. With my ticket for a one-way ride. Cause when I cross over Jordan, I wanna stay on the other side. Get aboard the gospel train.